Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here is the latest sermon in our current teaching series, All Kinds of Prayer.
Thank you, dear Father, for yet another opportunity to gather with friends and family to open up the scriptures and to know that it's not just words in a book, but to know that it's alive and that your spirit is in this place with us right now, and that through the scriptures and through your spirit and through our shared community, we have an opportunity for something special to happen as we think on these words. And we pray, God, that as we think on these words, that they would help shape us and motivate us and move us to a deeper, more effective, more fulfilling walk with Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm a little bit traumatized by the warm weather this year. It's a good trauma. I'll take it. I'd be happy to be traumatized next winter, too. But isn't it weird? I mean, it's weird. It just, like, I think they said we've had over 20 days over 40 degrees so far. I mean, it's really hard on our reputation, people. I mean, I always think of us as the frozen chosen. Not just because of the weather, either. It's just kind of our demeanor. You know, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. And I've always enjoyed thinking many are cold, but few are frozen. But Sherry's giving me that you are so corny look on her face right now. Corn sells, my dear, corn sells. Anyway, listen, I was not born in Minnesota, but my last name is Bjørkum. Comes from Bjørkum, a Norwegian name. My mother's maiden name is Carlson. So between the Bjørkums and the Carlsons, I am kind of terminally Midwestern Scandinavian. And we take our dullness seriously. I mean, we wear it like a badge. I mean, we are able to, you know, like a warm, embracing, emotive hug from me. We can both be looking in the same direction to get that from me. I just kind of, hello, how are we doing? Good Norwegian hug there. When it comes to worship in church, you know, like I like writing worship songs, like, you know, that one we just sang, you know, the I believe that you are powerful. I like those soft, gentle worship songs, don't you? I tend toward contemplative, quiet forms of worship. I mean, if you said, Dave, would you like to go down to First Assembly in South Minneapolis and jump over a few pews and jump around yelling hallelujah, or would you like to take your journal and go sit in a little hermitage out in the woods somewhere? I'm sorry. You know, I'm more of a Brother Dave. I'm sort of a monkish Brother Dave, not a hallelujah Brother Dave. I'm two different. You know, for me, that loud and emotive stuff. And then I used to kind of use my heritage and my Minnesotan-ness as an excuse for being quieter about my faith. You know, yes, there's many ways to praise God, but we Minnesotans, we're contemplative. We like to, you know, we're apt to write quiet little praise songs and worship in our own quiet way. And then I met this guy named Morten Christensen, PhD student from Sweden at the university. And he came to our 9 o'clock candlelight worship service. And even when we were doing quiet contemplative things, you know, we'd be praying, Lord, we need you this hour. He'd go, oh, yes, we do. We'd all open our eyes. Like, who did that, you know? And he was quiet by then, you know, and then we go back to our, and yes, Lord, we thank you for your gifts. Yes, your many gifts, oh, Lord. And you should have seen our face when we realized it was a guy from Sweden doing this. And you're like, dude, hold it down. You're blowing our excuse. I mean, We've been using our Scandinavian heritage as an excuse for not having to get excited about anything. We can't have somebody from Sweden actually here being all emotive and loud, you know. But our text today sort of calls us to be loud and emotive. I mean, this is a song from the Old Testament, and the first word is what? Shout. Shout. Shout for joy to the Lord. Maybe if you have an older version, it's make a joyful noise. I mean, shout even sounds like you tuned it down a little bit, you know, instead of like, make noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Does that strike you as a little bit of an upbeat kind of a song? It's kind of hard to sing a quiet song like, let's all shout to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't work. You're going to have to, like, raise your voice a little bit, you know. As I was preparing for this sermon, I thought, well, I'm going to talk about the balanced approach, you know, that we need to be thankful with gladness and give shouts and joyful songs. And because the psalmist does say shout, he says be glad and have joyful songs. And I was going to say, yes, reverence is really good. And rowdiness is okay too. But I was shocked this week because I've never done this before, but I studied through the Bible looking for calls to worship. You know, like verses that say, let's all worship God. And I was looking for a balanced approach today for some verses that say, let's gather together and be quiet before the Lord. You know? And I thought, oh, yeah, I know it says, be still and know that I am God. There's one. Yeah. I look it up. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean be quiet. It means don't be anxiety-filled. It means be still. It means be trusting. It doesn't mean be quiet. It means quiet of heart, not quiet of mouth. So I looked because I was determined there was going to be something in there for dour, quiet little people like me. And I found one, Psalm 39. The psalmist is quiet before God. Whew, I thought I was going to have to get a new religion here for him. No. The truth is, it's super easy to find a verse of Scripture that says, hey, everybody stand up. Yell! It's all over the Bible. People do it all through the Scriptures. The idea of getting excited and standing up and shouting hallelujah, that's a very biblical idea that Thanksgiving is a little bit rowdy. In fact, when I was in graduate school and I was studying some of these old Hebrew Psalms, they told me that most of the things that are called singing and shouting and noise, from our point of view, it would be like getting a bunch of noisemakers and trash can lids and pounding them. It wasn't like pretty orchestrated music. It was like, let's all make a loud noise for God right now, okay? And I'm still stuck, you know, in that kind of like, well, let's calm down a little bit here. Let's all fold our hands and bow our heads and give thanks to God. Well, that's fine. But let me tell you something. The Scriptures tell us we should get a little bit noisy about thankfulness to God. So let's try something. Let's try. I'm going to say hallelujah. I want you to try that, would you? And I want you to do it with a little gusto, okay? Ready? Here we go. Hallelujah! Okay, and I don't mean just pretend or act. I mean, get the most thankful, real hallelujah in your soul and let it come out. Ready? Here we go. Hallelujah! What about that? It's pretty convincing. Well, can we put a woo-hoo on it? Woo-hoo! And then together, all things decent and in order. Loud is one thing. Out of control is another. Here we go. Here we go. Hallelujah! Woo! Yes, there we go. Now, there's a movie that probably very few of you have seen. It's a great movie. It's an art movie. It's Danish. Right away, you know you haven't seen it, most of you. It's called Babette's Feast. And in this movie, this woman who is she's fleeing a war situation. She's fleeing a political situation in France. And she comes to this little village, I think it's in Denmark, and it's very puritanical and very serious about their religion. And everything in the village is pretty much like gray or black or neutrals. And the people are always walking around very serious about everything. But this woman comes who's a chef from where she came from. And her idea is like, she's very, oh yes, we should do things with passion. And we should. And she comes into, in the course of the movie, she comes into a large sum of money. And she decides that she's so thankful to this village for taking her in, that she's going to make a feast like they have never had before. And so she cooks up this meal, foods, and like shipments are coming in by boat, that the people in the village are like, you know, Cornish hens are coming in on you. What is all this? You know, all this extravagant, you know, like great bottles of wine and all kinds of things are going. The people are like, now they're getting worried about this feast because it looks like a little too much fun. And God wouldn't want you to do that. And in fact, they have a village meeting as to whether or not it would be wrong to eat the meal that Babette is making. And they all decide, no, we will sacrificially gather together for this meal out of respect for our dear friend. It's going to be kind of carnal and wicked, but let's try to endure it and be gracious to Babette. She doesn't know any better. That's their sort of attitude. And then you see them gather for this meal. And the meal, I mean, the table is, oh, it's beautiful. And the smells that are in the room. And it's not just like a wine. I mean, there's this pour and that pour and that pour. And it's just like, it's extravagant. You know, everything is coming in time. And you see these old Scandinavian men sitting there like this. And they take a taste of the soup. And they go, and the camera comes right in on them. They go, and their eyes just go. And you can tell with that little expression that everything in their being is going, ding, 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 definitely the best thing you've ever tasted in your life. Ah! You can tell they want to just jump up and yell, you know, and they dial it way back. You see them go, hallelujah. It's hilarious. I mean, you can tell they want to jump up and explode like a firecracker, but they dial it way back and go, hallelujah. And it gets harder and harder as the meal proceeds for them to be that way because they start embracing the joy of it. And I think sometimes we're a little bit like that. Sometimes we're reverent in our thanks for God, but we're not boisterous and rowdy in our thanks for God. And I think that's bad because you can claim the Minnesota thing all you want, but the truth is, when the right play is run on that field, I've seen you get excited. You can say all you want, but I've been to some of your wedding dances. You can say whatever you want, but I've seen the celebration at the birth of a new child. I've seen what happens when some of you get a new car. You know? And I have learned that you have within you the ability of being rowdy and happy. And I think it's very dangerous if at church we've trained ourselves that when it comes to God, we're going to always dial it back in. You know, like that even when there's a great thing, we're going to go, hallelujah. That's not right. God deserves some rowdy praise from us, okay? When I went to the University of Minnesota, I have this wonderful experience of somebody who came to the very first Bible study I ever led at the university, came up to me. His name was Sean. And Sean, he said to me, the first thing he said to me was, he had come with a friend, and he said to me, Christianity's okay, but I could personally never believe in a God that's angry and sends people to hell. Yes, my name's Dave. Good to meet you. I said to him, and this is really felt like a gift from the Lord, because I had never, you know, nobody had just confronted me like that before. And I just said to him, I see what you mean. What would you think about a God that loves you and everybody else so much he would do anything to stop that from happening? And he went, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, you should, because the gospel is not about God judging people to hell. The gospel is about God making a way that nobody has to be in hell. That's the gospel. He goes, very interesting. I would like to know more about such a God. So he came to Bible studies, and we started reading, and it wasn't too long that he said, I'm in. I'll follow this Jesus. I'm in. I'm good. And then it wasn't too long till he was going to give witness to this faith in his heart by being baptized. And we had a baptism. And I picked this baptism picture I found online because it looked like the only baptism where people were being noisy. And when Sean got baptized there in the little baptistry in Southeast Christian Church downtown in Minneapolis, he did something that had never, I think, maybe happened before in that church. He didn't have this background of religion and church practice. So, in fact, his baptism might have been the first time he'd ever seen a baptism in a church building like this by immersion. But he knew what he was doing. And so I stood there and I had my quiet, you know, hallelujah voice. Hallelujah, you know, Sean, on the confession of your faith. We now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I baptized him. I put him under the water. And as I pulled him up, he got a little footing there on the bottom of the baptistry. And something that had never happened to me before. He jumped. And he turned, you know, I had him nice and formal toward the side. You know, when he jumped, he turned and he planted down in the baptistry like this. Now, that's not normal. He planted like that, water sloshing over the edge. And he just looked at the entire room full of people and went, whoa! And they were like, what is he doing? Did the microphone fall into the baptistry? What's happening? But they figured out, oh, he's happy. And so they all jumped up and they started applauding and they were happy too. Now, we Minnesotans we adjust to things. And so you would think that what happened is, like whenever things like this happen, that we would just go, wow, that was really something. Well, back to normal now. But we found out that as long as Sean was around, there wasn't going to be normal. Because from that point on, it didn't matter who was in the baptistry. It didn't matter who came up and said, I'm giving my life to Jesus. When they would say that, or when they would be baptized, Sean could be just sitting out anywhere you are, and the minute they would say it, or the minute they'd come up out of the water, he would jump up just like he was in reliving his own experience. He would jump up and go, yeah, yeah. And he would just, and so we go, oh, yeah, let's stand on you. Yeah, good. Hallelujah. You see, that was something we needed to learn. And it doesn't come natural to a lot of us. But it should be more natural. Maybe it doesn't come natural enough because we allowed ourselves to be socialized and trained to be quiet. And I'm just saying, look, we can be decent in order, but we can be a little rowdy in our thanksgiving to God. And I would suggest to you that when we are, that kind of prayer, that it's emotive and embodied. And you know what I mean by embodied? I mean, it's not just words in your mouth. It's an expression of your whole body saying, yes, this resonates all through me. That kind of expression of thanks it's shaping you. Really, seriously. If you have, it's like holding in a sneeze all the time. I mean, if you spend your whole life that every time something good happens from the Lord, it's a quiet hallelujah. But if you win the lottery, it's jumping up and down, or your baby's born, it's jumping up and down, or it's somebody's party, or somebody's, you know, promotion. Do you think that's not shaping your view of the world? Of course it is. And I think that you and I would live better Christian lives if we allowed a little rowdy thanks to shape our lives. where it wasn't so weird for us to do a little jig once in a while for the Lord. And those of you who know me, you realize I'm really speaking from faith here. Because me and jigs do not go together. Really. But I want to be shaped that way more. I want that. Another thing the psalmist says is, be thankful to God, our maker, our owner, and our leader. See, he says, know the Lord is God. It's he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We're his. And you might say, well, Dave, yeah, I've heard this before. God made us. We belong to him. And he's our shepherd. Yeah, I've heard all that before. Well, see, here's my thing, though, is this psalm is giving us some guidance into ways we might pray a thankful prayer. And I'm wondering if I asked you today, if I just did a survey and said, everybody write down like three things that you're thankful for today. And if we could tally those up, I wonder how many people on that list of things they were thankful for would say, I'm thankful God made me. I'm thankful that God leads me. I'm thankful that I belong to God, that God owns me. You see, I think these are important because they're things that when we thank God in these ways, it really shapes the way we think about our life. You know, when we ask ourselves, who made me? Who owns me? Who leads me? That changes the way we think about life. You know, I will admit to you, I'm not happy about admitting this, but my kind of personality, you know, I'm kind of a melancholy guy sometimes. I know some of you don't believe that, but that is kind of a natural inclination for me. And I have had times in my past where I've had the blues or been so tired or worn out that I have thought to myself before, what is the point? Would it be so bad if I hadn't been born? You know, I mean, I'm having that George Bailey moment. I mean, I'm sure some of you have this. You know, it's very difficult to have those kinds of thoughts about life if you're thanking God for making you. When I say, God, thank you for making me, it makes me think that there is a life to be lived and a reason for being here. Even if it's just bringing glory to God or bringing a cup of water to somebody, you know? So I want on my list of thank you, I don't want just to be boisterous. I want to be kind of basic. God, I'm glad I'm here. You know? It's not just there's a party. It's thanks for the invitation to the party. Thanks for that I belong to you. Thank you that you lead me. You know, I think in a healthy family, children kind of have all three of those perspectives with their parents. I think if you grow up in a healthy family, you probably look to mom and dad as a kid, and you don't know everything about it, but you figured out you wouldn't be here if it weren't for them. You know, that they had something to do with you being here, and that you belong to them. It's bad if you get out of their sight, because you're with them, and that they're the people you should be looking to for guidance. Those are three parts of being a healthy child. And if we're going to be offering prayers of thanks, the psalmist in Psalm 100, by reminding us that God is our maker and our owner and our leader, the psalmist is helping us have that proper child, healthy child perspective that says, God, I know I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. And I'm glad that you own me. And I'm glad that you're leading me. So that kind of praying shapes my view of my life and my purpose. And then finally, the psalmist says, let's praise God's name, which is kind of a weird phrase. He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's kind of a weird phrase. I mean, think about it. Why don't we just praise God? Why are we praising his name? You know, we live in a culture where we think of names as labels. You know, this label Jimmy helps me keep Jimmy separate from that label Frankie. Okay, they're just names. When my firstborn son was born, we named him Tyler. And no kid at that time was named Tyler. And I had an uncle who said to me, right in front of a big group, he was a pastor, and this uncle said, well, Dave and his wife just had their firstborn, and they named him Tyler. That's a weird name, isn't it? Tyler. And I said to, right there in front of everybody, I said to my uncle, I said, well, if you understood the meaning of Tyler, maybe you'd have a different idea about why we named him that. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry, what does it mean? I said, it means one who lays tile. And my uncle's like, I gotta, you know, like. I mean, the names we name our kids, they do have meanings. And some of you have thoughtfully chosen names for their meanings. Some people are just like me, and it's just like A, B, C. You know, you name kids, I like the sound of it, okay? That's fine. But that doesn't help us understand what it means to say praise the name of the Lord. When we're talking about the name of the Lord, we're talking about his reputation. The name, what you call the Lord, is what defines him. In fact, it might help you understand that phrase better to say praise the fame of the Lord. Because it's what God is famous for. It's because what God is known for. It's his whole character that we're praising. And the psalmist has three things he says to us. That God is what? Good and loving and faithful. And so when the psalmist says, praise the name of the Lord, the psalmist is saying, praise the Lord because he's good. His name is goodness. Praise the Lord because he is faithful. His name is faithfulness. Faithfulness would be a good name for God. Praise the name of the Lord because he is loving. Loving is a name for God, you see. It defines him. It explains him. And of course, this is true of anybody that we give thanks to or anybody that we go to for help. You know, if my car breaks down in the middle of the night and Sherry's with me, right away we'll go, well, who can we call? How about calling that person? Oh, no, they work. They're tired. How about them? No, they don't like me that much. How about them? Right? I mean, you kind of know who to call on based on what? Their reputation and your relationship with them. And so when the psalmist says, praise the Lord for his goodness, his love, and his faithfulness, he's saying, when you come to the Lord and you're offering thanksgiving, think of the good things that God has done. Think of his faithfulness. These are all reasons you should come to him in thanks and in request. He is good. Thankful prayers that focus on God's character instill hope and confidence. Does that make sense? I'm saying that if you pray all the time, you know, like a prayer like this, dear Lord, there are several things going on in my life right now that I really don't like. And so, I don't know, I'm praying to you about them because I really don't like these things. I've been thinking a lot about these things I don't like. The stuff I don't like is what's sort of shaping my whole attitude in prayer right now, God. And they did yesterday, and you didn't do anything about it yesterday, so. And I got a bad feeling about tomorrow, too. You think that's shaping your life? Of course that shapes your life if that's what you pray like. That's why you have to pray like the psalmist do. The psalmist will say, yeah, I feel, you know, this is a terrible thing going on right now, but this I call to mind. God has been good. So God, yes, this is what's going on, but I'm calling to mind your goodness. I'm praising your faithfulness. God, right now, I could list you several ways you've been faithful to me, even right now. And so I want to thank you for your faithfulness in that. Thank you for your faithfulness in that. Thank you for your goodness in that. If that starts shaping your prayer, if you start praying through thanksgiving like that, guess what happens? It starts giving you more hope and confidence about the other stuff you're praying about. You see, this is part of spiritual formation. And Jesus adds the other thing is not only can we thank God and praise his name, but Jesus says, while you're doing that, you can come in my name. How's that for name upon name? You get the reputation and the fame of the Lord combined with the reputation and the fame and the character of Jesus. That's a pretty sweet way to come before the Lord. Now, Every week I've been ending with some old prayer that might help you. Today I want to end with a litany. And litany is kind of one of those old-fashioned liturgical words. To remember what a litany is, I just put an S in it, a listany. A litany is just a list. This morning at our first service today, we sang an old hymn called Count Your Blessings. Have you heard that song? You know, it starts off like, when upon life's journey you are tempest tossed, do not be discouraged thinking all is lost. And it goes on, you know, count your many blessings. Saying that when you're in tough times, think about the blessing. Think about what God's doing in your life. Pray out of a heart of thanks, right? And so that's one of those great old gospel songs that everybody goes, that's cute. And then we don't do it. We go, yeah, that's what, you know what we ought to do? We ought to just all be more thankful. Everybody, amen, amen. Okay, now let's go on to with our whining. Instead of, I mean, have you actually made a list? I would suggest it might be worth doing. Some of you know the name Rich Mullins. He was a famous singer, songwriter. He wrote songs like Awesome God and Oh God, You Are My God and I Will Ever Praise You. Some of those classic songs like that. And I had the privilege of doing music with him once out in Denver, Colorado for a youth conference. And one night he got up at this youth conference and he stood at a pulpit and he pulled out this big, long list. And it actually was like on that old computer roll paper, so it just kind of dropped down. And I think he let it just plop down in front. So you said, oh man, this is going to take a while. And the list started like this. He said, started with Rocky Road ice cream with extra chunks of chocolate. Beethoven's Third Symphony. Really pretty nights out on a dock by this lake. And it was just a list. And he got down and he read that list for about 15 minutes. Just a list. And then he just stopped and he wasn't even through. He goes, you know, when you think that everything is going wrong in the world and life is hard and you're miserable, you should make one of these. Because it hasn't all been bad. In fact, if you make a list like that, you probably think, that's a whole bunch of stuff I'm glad I'm not missing out on. I love that stuff. And so I want us to end with a list. I would even suggest to you that it might even be smart at your home. You could do something like start a list of things you're thankful for. Because I know when you go to the Lord in prayer, it's going to be easy to think of the stuff you want God to fix and give you. It might be good to have a list there so you don't have to use any brain power at all. You go, Lord, that's a blessing we love here. Lord, and we thank you for that. And you brought us through that. And you promised us that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then get to asking. That might not be a bad idea. So we're going to practice two things. We're going to practice being noisy and thankful. Are you ready? Stand up if you can. Stand up. I'm going to read the white parts, and you're going to read the yellow parts, okay? And let's just practice one of these we thank yous. And remember, I'm not asking for pretend. I'm talking think a thankful thought, and let's let it be a noisy one. Here we go. We thank you. Yeah, we thank you. Okay, excellent. Here we go. And that can get louder as we go, too, okay? Let us give thanks to God our Father for all his gifts so freely bestowed upon us, for the beauty and wonder of your creation in earth and sky and sea. We thank you, Lord, for all... Woo! Somebody calm down, Gloria. Okay, no, she's doing great. Here we go. For all that is gracious in the lives of men and women, revealing the image of Christ, we thank you, Lord, for our daily food and drink, our homes and our families and our friends. We thank you, Lord, for minds to think and hearts to love and hands to serve. We thank you, Lord, for health and strength to work. Oh, yes, we love our work. And leisure to rest and play. We thank you, Lord, for the brave and courageous who are patient in suffering and faithful in adversity. We thank you, Lord, for all valiant seekers after truth, liberty, and justice. And the, I want to say, and the American way. No, anyway. For the communion of saints, which is an old way of saying for the community of Christians in all times and places, we thank you, Lord. Above all, we give you thanks for the great mercies and promises given to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. To him be praise and glory with you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I like it. What would happen if we don't go back to normal? Well, yeah, let's try. Let's try a little bit, okay? Thank you all. The Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.